Hi, this is Jenny Walker, and welcome to Closet Conversations. This is part three in a series on how to start and open a consignment shop. As I mentioned in part two, my experience is based on opening a shop from scratch. We did not buy an existing store and rebrand it or take it over, so the answers are going to be more tuned to those who are starting one from scratch. And obviously there'll be some overlap, but that will help you understand kind of where I'm coming from. So I'm co-founder of Walker Vyden Luxury Consignment in Pasadena, California. And we opened approximately 2 years ago in August, and we had to find consigners as well as customers for our store. So we're brand new. We don't have a consignment base. So what are we going to do? So what we ended up doing is, in terms of filling up inventory, is there were people who knew that we were opening up our store before it happened. There was at least 30 days, a little more, maybe 5 weeks, 5.5 to 6 weeks after we took over our space with our lease before we actually were open for business. So during that time, people knew we were going to open. We had signs on the outside that said coming soon, et cetera, et cetera. So people knew we were going to open. And we got referred a couple of phone calls by someone else who was in the neighborhood where our business was going to be open and knew we were going to be opening. And they had gotten some calls of their own, and they referred those people to us, knowing that we would be opening up a luxury consignment shop, and that was outside the scope of what they were doing. So we got a call before we opened the shop, and it was someone who was going into assisted living. Now, this is not anything I had on the top of my list as, finding consigners, but when you think about it, it's all about the need to purge items you no longer are able to use, so a lot of downsizing. So someone going into assisted living is actually a really terrific example of a situation where someone needs to downsize. So in that situation, we went into the person's home, and we met with the family members, and we went through all of the items in the home that were left over from the person moving from that home and going into assisted living. And so we really through it one by one. And so we found hundreds of pieces, literally, that we were going to be able to sell out of that first batch. So since we didn't have a store open, we brought all the inventory home with us and had it in storage and, had it kind of set aside for when we were going to start processing that inventory. So it didn't happen immediately because we weren't set up with our consignment software and other things that we needed in order to process it. But we did accept that inventory, and it was just a wonderful way to get a large amount of items very quickly for our store. So we have approximately 1,400 square feet, and we needed to fill that space up. So you don't want to open up your doors and have nothing in there. So what we did was, with that inventory that we got out of that one situation and combined with my resale inventory from a resale shop, we were able to just fill it up with a bunch of stuff. And as we got more and more consignment inventory, we would take out that resale inventory and move it back out of the store. Needless to say, it was very, very spacious in the beginning, and it looked like we would never fill it up, to be honest. And I don't know, I kind of longed for the day, so it was so spacious. But then again, you need a certain amount of inventory in order to meet your sales goals. So anyway, so we had someone who was going to assisted living, and that was a very unique way to get the first customer. Our second customer was referred to us was someone who was just curious about consignment, and they had seen the sign that we were opening, and they had asked someone nearby about what was that, and so they gave our contact information to that person or vice versa, and we were in touch with them. So in that situation, you had someone who was just curious. They'd seen the sign. They'd always wondered about consignment, and they had the luxury goods. So in that situation, we got a very wonderful first client who's well, second consignor who's still with us today, and we were able to get, I think, around 100 pieces from our first visit. We've had many visits after then, and they were all just the kind of luxury brand that you just long to have, you know, Louis Vuitton and Prada and Miu Miu, you know, Versace, the list goes on. So that was pretty exciting. So those two first consigners, along with our own inventory, helped us fill out the store as we were opening. Throughout that process, people would stop by. They were curious. And what we found was that a lot of I call the curious is its own category. People who've heard about consignment, but they've never actually consigned before. So they don't really know much about it. And so they come in and ask a lot of questions about how it works and consignment splits and things like that. So so you get the batch that is what I call the curious. You also get the people that are what I call trying a new shop because they're not satisfied with the one they've been using. So we got a number of those when we first opened, and that was really surprising to me. But there are people who'd used other consignment shops and just weren't happy for whatever reasons. And I actually know those reasons, which is a different podcast. But, you know, they weren't happy, so they're just going to try out someone new. So we had that group of individuals. So aside from that, you have what's called the appraisers. So appraisers who work with estates, and, you know, they're a whole group of people that are in what I call in a position to know about estates that are coming open before the general public. And developing relationships with appraisers is a great way to find out about inventory, you know, way in advance of say, an estate sale or anything like that. So it's very much an opportunity to get in early when there's a big transition taking place in someone's life. A lot of consigners that we had just simply Googled us and found us online and would call us up and ask for more information on our rates and how we worked. And that brought in a lot of people that way. So just people who on their own they're not physically walking by your store, but they're thinking about consigning and they're turning to the internet to try to get a list of people in the LA area or Pasadena specifically that might be an option for them. In terms of random people coming in and how to find consigners, sometimes the consigners just find you. And what's really interesting to me is the reasons that they tell you that they've come in. Now, as a shop owner, I'm not actually asking people, you know, why they're coming in necessarily. You know, it's really none of my business. It's their private reasons for coming in. But what I've learned in the last couple of years talking to people is they have very, very specific reasons for coming in. And 9 times out of 10, it's because they need some money. And so potentially they're going on vacation and they're trying to get some money there. They're going through a divorce and they need some money to pay for expenses around that. College tuition, they have a child that needs a course or two that needs to be paid for. Perhaps it's a wedding. They want to save up so they can have a wonderful wedding. They're moving. They're moving out of town, and it doesn't make sense to ship and pay for a bunch of things when they can liquidate it before they leave. And so, you know, some people are just cleaning out, and, you know, that's always a good thing. People are always purging. But it's interesting, you know, at the end of the day, people consign rather than donate because you have an opportunity to get some cash, real cash money that you can do something else with, rather than, say, donate it to a nonprofit where you're rewarded with, you know, a tax receipt. Certainly everyone I knew in my family and friends and in my circle knew I was going to be opening up a consignment shop with a new business partner. So I got the word out among people that I already knew and who knew me in terms of getting consigners for the store. And my business partner, he did the same. We did traditional advertising through display ads locally through Arroyo Magazine and Pasadena Weekly. We put out notices on social media and kind of went from there. We also tried some old-fashioned approaches. We created a flyer with numbers that could be torn off and posted it at nearby colleges and universities to our store, put business cards and notices in local Starbucks on the bulletin board. Basically, very grassroots and the more sophisticated methods. We did a press release and put that out on the internet, and of course, we supported all of that with a website as well that had full information on consignment and consignment terms. A real poignant thing that happened with us was our consigner whose family was there for the assisted living. Unfortunately, when the consigner passed away, we were contacted when the estate was left to basically go through one last time and go through those things. So the family had been satisfied with the service they got from us, and I know that they were constantly surprised at how much money we were able to get for these things. And I think that's a different podcast, really understanding the value of what's in there. I mean, you know, there are collectors for so many things that people have no idea about, and to them it's just something they've forgotten about and aren't using up in their closets, but there's real money in there. And I will definitely do a different podcast about kind of the hidden value in things. But people do get surprised by how much they can get for things, and we're always happy when we can, you know, do something extraordinary like that and surprise them in a very good way for how much something sells for. So that's it in a nutshell as ways to find consigners. Certainly, word of mouth is really, really, really powerful, and we learned that as people were very satisfied with what they brought in, and for us having sold it, that they would tell their friends and so on and so on. So that's a very, very powerful thing. Also, people who would look online at our Yelp reviews. What's interesting is our Yelp reviews, really, there's not one review that has anything to do with as a consigner. It's only as a customer. But I do feel that people do review all of that because they've told us, and I think it gives them a better feeling about us, because I can tell you what I have learned is people are doing their homework. They absolutely are going online. They're reading reviews on Yelp. They're going to the websites. They're really doing their due diligence to figure out who's the right consignment shop for them. And we aren't right for everybody. And I have had to turn away a lot of inventory. And I've learned it's better to disappoint someone on the front end than to have to give all their clothes back because you just weren't able to sell them. And it doesn't do me any good to take an inventory that I know we don't have a customer for. And certainly, we have an older customer, and some brands that are too youthful or too young for us, I have to send them elsewhere. And so I've learned that that's really, well, as a matter of fact, that's another way we got consigners, is that other consignment shops would refer people to us. And it's interesting, not because they didn't want the business themselves, for example, but we have this policy in our store where, you know, same day appointment, we're not going to make you wait, you know, come and see us, no minimum, one item. Yeah, one great item we'll consign with you. And what I've learned is that other stores don't do it that way. They have an extensive appointment process. They require, you know, an extraordinary number of items just to get you started. And we don't do that because, one, I think that's unnecessary, because when someone's in the mood to purge, they don't want to wait. And if someone might just have one amazing item, and that's fine with me. I mean, I don't need 10, 15, 20, 30 things from someone to get started. It's the exact same amount of work to process one amazing Louis Vuitton or Chanel handbag as it is, you know, 10, 15 pieces of something else that might not even, you know, reward you with as much commission on that. So that is interesting that other consignment shops have referred people to us for whatever reason, because maybe a phone screen, not necessarily because they saw the people in person every time, but like a phone screening where it didn't sound like they had what they needed. But what I've learned is you know, qualifying the consigners is really an excellent thing to do to avoid, you know, disappointment. But sometimes you just can't get all the information you need over the phone. So my attitude is, we'll bring it in. If I can't do anything with it, I'll let you know and I can refer to someone else. And I actually have a list in our store of every consignment shop in the Pasadena area that I give to people. And that's a really helpful way so that you know, as a consignor, they can certainly call up the other people in town, or as a customer, they have an opportunity to visit the other shops in town. So that's it. Just a shorter one today on how to find consignors for a new consignment shop. I hope this was helpful to you. If you enjoyed this podcast, I hope that you'll subscribe and share it with others. If you'd like more information on me, Jenny Walker, I have two websites, jennygirlscloset.com and walkervyden.com. We're also on all social media. And yeah, that's it. So thanks again for listening. It just really makes my day that other people find this interesting. And as long as people are listening, I will be happy to continue putting content out here. Thanks again.